to read this email.
Yeah, you got an interesting email. Did it shock you when you got it?
No.
Did it turn you on your head? Did you scream?
No. I've come to terms, and you know, it's so funny because Michael Steele, the former head of the Republican National Committee, was just on with us, and Michael and I go way back, almost a decade now. He and I have been talking to each other on various radio and television shows, and dealing with these issues, and struck up a personal friendship, and got to know each other and understand where the other cat comes from.
And
that's because he calls me a very interesting cat, because you got a lot of problems, is basically what he says. He hit on something, which is exactly the problem that I've had with the Trump campaign, and that has been that there is no detail. Zero. He offers no actual concrete solutions except for a concrete wall, which he claims he's going to build and the Mexicans are going to pay for. He doesn't say how he's going to do that. Don't worry, we've got trade deals. We can do it. He's calling on tariffs and economic threats or military threats. I mean, he's not specific about what it is, because the guy really is based on his entire reason for being is to negotiate a deal.
And right? He's good at that, you would think.
You would think that, but you know, if you read the stuff about him that is written not by him, not just in his own book, The Art of the Deal,
right?
There are a number of deals he's gotten involved in where he tried to negotiate his way out and he couldn't. So the banks negotiated for him because they didn't want to lose all the money that he had bet of theirs. You know, a lot of his, in most of these deals, he's not using his own money. He's using banks' money.
But ultimately, he's been successful with those deals. I'm sure there are some who could say, no, they didn't work out. But look at where he's gotten to be 133rd on the Forbes, you know, most wealthiest Americans.
Right. I mean, what he says about his brand, too. I mean, you know, of his $10 billion in net worth he claims to have, somewhere around $6 billion of it is in his brand. He says
Forbes doesn't include that part.
Right. He's on
as
paper.
They don't price it as high or value it as high as he does.
Right. Because the brand itself may. I mean, this could. I know what you're saying about the political brand is through the roof, clearly. But the actual retail brands now may not be. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to the hotel chain and to the Thai business and to all the rest of it on the other side of this, because he has become a controversial character. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it. And we'll just have to see where that all breaks down at the very end. But in the meantime, even when you read the way he's done business and deals he has done that have gone the wrong way, the Plaza Hotel deal is a very famous one in New York City. He overpaid for that, $400 million for that, because he needed to have it. Then he sold it for $325 million and claimed it was one of his greatest victories. That is, by the way, if you're not good at math, a $75 million loss. And he was forced to sell it.
Nothing to him.
He actually had to give up his planes and his boats and some of his other property to pay off the juice to the banks on that deal. At the time. I mean, there have been
bankruptcies, too. And he says, well, they weren't personal bankruptcies.
That would be true. He didn't have a personal bankruptcy, but he used the bankruptcy laws to shield assets and things like that. That's fine. I mean, that's what business guys do. And I guess, okay, so let me just read this email very quick. This guy named Elmer, actually, from Piatone.
Oh.
And he writes, I've been a listener for years and glad that you're on 720. Well, thank you. That's there we go. That's the good.
That's a nice open before he tears you apart. Yeah. I can feel it coming.
Well, it is sort of. About Trump, I am voting for him. I think we have been taking down the pea patch, P-E-A, like the vegetable, pea.
Picking for peas.
Mm-hmm. Or what is that? Is that whatever it is?
Yeah, you take them off the vine, right?
Yep.
The little peas.
By politicians, taking down the pea patch by politicians for years. Why not have a businessman who is very successful take a go at it?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do any worse than we have had in the past?
Well, he's got a point there.
You can again. I'm going to tell you. I had a marriage counselor once say to me, "You can always get worse. You can always get worse. No matter how bad you think it is, it can always get worse, and it can." And let me just tell you something. Well, I'll get to that in just a second. Then he goes on about Sheriff Joe. He likes him because I was taking a shot at Sheriff Joe, who's another guy who's got a lot of opinions but does not have a ton of fact-based behind him. As a matter of fact, the guy's fought off lawsuits day in and day, federal lawsuits day in and day out of his run in Maricopa County. I mean, that's
but
that's,
he's certainly a guy who comes up with solutions. You may not agree with the solutions, but he does. But then come the up solutions
get taken away by the by either the state or the federal government around him, and then it costs the people of Maricopa County money to have to go defend the guy that, that came up with something that was unrealistic to begin with. He's a perfect example in microcosm of what has happened. Just go ahead and read. I mean, it's it, don't just look at the headline. Look at the story. Is okay.
All right,
I'm
let's go.
I'm fighting in the middle of Elmer's email here.
Elmer has to say.
I do not want to fight Elmer. During Elmer's email because okay. Elmer's making a point here I want to pay attention to. Look at our state. You got Madigan, Cullerton. They've basically been governing for 25 years or so. And look at where we are. School districts broke. CPS is upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Daley Jr., he gave the city a and then he uses an expletive here that I can't quite
say
share
that,
with
Elmer,
you, but
on the radio.
But I know what he means. Okay, he gave the city a fixing that the city will never recover from. And then he goes on about
Ron
the
he's right about that. I mean, I think that's the fed up part is where a lot of people are coming from.
And what do these guys do? They if you cut a deal to pass a budget, they raise the taxes, they borrow the difference, and they just keep doing the same. Mm-hmm. By the way, he would speaking of, and then just as a side and aside here, mm-hmm. he says that we need to get Violetta Podramatic's picture up on the website because she sounds so youthful. It says youthful.
You know, so I read that email too. He butchered my spelling.
That's okay.
A lot.
Who doesn't?
Okay, and then he put youthful though in air quotes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You do.
Yeah,
you
not sound, just air quotes. These are actual quotes.
You sound sweet,
Violetta. These are that's this is when.
Oh,
see,
right.
Now,
okay.
In
okay.
this era, this is what we call a quotation mark. See, the millennials, everything's an air quote to the millennial. this is where it came from, Violetta. That's the quote on the. That's what it is. You
that's
are youthful.
That's why he said she sounds youthful.
She's youthful.
She said air quotes.
She is youthful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is indeed.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get your picture up on the website.
Why don't you just tell him to go to WGMRadio.com and watch her. The entire shift.
Oh, no.
That's
no,
not necessary.
I do not want to suggest
that.
We don't encourage that. Yeah, you know, that can
do they have a camera on her feet? That'll be the next question.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
This isn't Fox.
That's what happens. I've just seen this stuff happens.
Yeah. This is, we need you not to wear a hat, honey. All right. Anyway, that's not the point. All right. So I just want to say to Elmer in Piatone, yes.
And a lot of other people who feel the same way.
I think that's the reason I read this, because I think that Elmer is emblematic of an entire movement of people who believe that this is exactly it. Give it to the business guy. He's not feeding us a line of lies and BS that all these other politicians have been doing. And they and he speaks his mind and he's going to do something about it.
Well, the other thing that's refreshing about him, and I think maybe, is that he's self-funded. And I think a lot of people are fed up with super PACs controlling our politicians and that they tend to act more in their interests rather than the people's interests because that's where their funding comes from. And he's very outward. He's funding his campaign.
And the super PAC is a new item. I mean, the super PAC is a direct result of a decision made by the Supreme Court. The Citizens United decision, which allows the super PAC, basically, it gives an open road to that and to allowing a corporate entity being treated as an individual. And so it's a very, 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 for political purposes and campaign finance purposes. And that is that has led to the rise of the super PAC. And my sense is that the super PAC may eventually go away. It may eventually go away. But the problem here is this, that I like the idea of individual funding of politicians because that tells you that they're able to appeal to individuals, many of them, and especially when you have low thresholds as you do in politics, where it's only a couple thousand bucks you can give to a politician based on the cycle, you know, for federal elected office. That means they have to have a lot of people raising a lot of money. Now, the super PAC's taken some of that away from it.
It's a little different with that.
It's taken some of that away from it. I prefer the system where you have to have a lot of people giving you a little
smaller
money.
Smaller amounts of money.
Smaller, and I'm doing it with air quotes now, Violetta. Smaller amounts of money, so because that means that you have you're building a grassroots support. It's the same reason that I like the Iowa caucus system because you have to meet individuals where they where they live. A guy like Donald Trump can wage an air war. He uses free media, which means he doesn't have to pay for commercials. He goes on all these news channels and uses that because he is so dynamic and verbally aggressive and, you know, bullish and all that. The people get like they're entertained by him, mm-hmm. and so he and it means ratings. So these networks they pander to him to get his attention so that he will come on with them. So he's got that. But if he can buy his own way, the problem is he the one thing about the president of the United States, the president of the United States doesn't get his own way. He doesn't. Now, just ask Barack Obama until you start to deal with executive order. And now look at the chaos in Washington because he's starting to do his own executive orders.
And we're seeing it here with Governor Rauner, a businessman who is finding that it's not that easy to get things through state government. Even if you have ideas of what you want to do, you're not the CEO.
So, and I think that even with the groundswell, and you got to remember that he's a little high in his own supply here. This is the Republican primary. Republican primary voters are a subset of Republican voters and an even smaller subset of voters in general who are a smaller subset of the population. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the voters are the only ones whose opinion counts because they're the only ones who are casting the votes. Right. Everybody can have an opinion they want unless they vote. It doesn't really matter. And they're the ones who make the decision about who the politicians are. But having said that, Republicans and if you look at the parties, is about 40% of the voting blocks, Republicans and Democrats, and about 20% of swings, people who come in and go out of voting for a Republican or Democrat, or they'll go in another direction. He's getting roughly, let's call it 40% of 40%, because the Republican primary voters are only about 40% of the total Republican
voters. And
he'll need
more in order to be electable in the general election, right? I mean, he's going to need to sway a lot of people. But still, he's so far ahead of his nearest competitors in all of these that it's starting to look as if it's inevitable almost that he is the candidate.
So if he becomes the candidate, then the question is, where does he move? Does he move? Does he stay where he is, or does he start to move? And does he disappoint his own base by doing it? The base is reacting not to any detail. He has no policy other than he's going to build a wall, and he's going to fix everybody who's ruining America. He's going to fix the Chinese. He started to throw the Japanese in a couple weeks ago into this. Now he's throwing.
He came into it too. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's throwing the Japanese under the bus now. You know, the Mexican government. Uh-huh. The Mexicans are coming across the border and all that sort of stuff. And now he's really going to give it to ISIS and all that. But how's he going to do that? How does he do that? Tell me one thing.
Well, I think as Elmer pointed out, there's a belief that he is a strong businessman type and will approach these with a strong stance, and they have more faith in him than they would somebody who's motivated for other reasons. I mean, I think people just don't need the detail right now. That's what they're saying. It's like, I trust him.
I get it.
I trust him. This is it. I trust him more than the others.
And I don't need the detail. And I understand that idea of not needing the detail. Still need the detail. And I think it is responsible for the people in our position who have always held, at least mm-hmm. as far as I know, the people that our progenitors and ourselves in our generation of this mm-hmm. ask power brokers and politicians to give us details and to tell us the truth and demand the truth. And Donald Trump his own followers do not demand the truth from him because he so often doesn't tell it, either about his own past or
whatever. As Michael Steele pointed out, so often you hear the details or what seem like details, and then they go about their business and do something completely different once they're in office. And they're not answering to the people. They're answering to the people who are giving them the money.
But if you're going to make a promise, aren't you supposed to tell people how you're going to do it?
I don't think that people care in Trump's case. They don't care. Okay. They don't care. Right. They want him.
Yesterday he was asked. Wait, you know what? Let me get to Violetta here, and then we'll. I want to see if we can find this because yesterday he was asked if all of this philandering in the past is really a problem.
I know you've been asking about that,
and he goes, "I don't care. They don't care. I don't care." It's true. They don't. It's like Clinton. It was like it becomes a big deal. And Republicans were all over Bill Clinton and how horrible
he
is and all that.
Big news.
And
there was like a woman outed every week, it felt like.
Right. And Donald Trump's like, oh, who cares?
Yeah, and his wife actually gave an interview to Us Magazine, and Melania, and just said, I'm not going to get political, but I'm not going to try to change my husband. I realize his past, and that's okay. That's the way it is. I'm not going to try to change him.
They don't care anymore.
Even the wife doesn't care. Why should we care?
I know.
it's a parallel universe.
It's fascinating, though.
Was very insightful letter, I thought, Ro. I'm glad you read it. Because we get a lot of people voicing that very concern.
Yes,
to us.
That I don't understand them or Trump and screw me.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that what they say?
Yes,
or do they use
basically,
a different word?
Sometimes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to share their opinions on this because you know they're listening to me prattle on about Trump. They might as well listen to them prattle on about Trump. Now you know one of those big things in especially Republican politics is the issue of abortion, right? Mm-hmm. Pro-life and abortion and Trump got you know he obviously has over the years shifted his opinion on this. He said he's personally
right.
Pro-life.
He said he was very pro-choice, quote, air quotes.
But he's pro-choice, but he's personally opposed to it, mm-hmm. Which is what a lot of I think a lot of people are like that, but I think a lot of people are also, a lot of politicians take that position. But there's a litmus test in Republican politics to being absolutely devout to the notion of pro-life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, listen to this. He got in a fight with a reporter yesterday about this.
I saw this.
This is
oh,
pretty.
Gosh.
This is pretty good. Yeah, this is pretty good.
Look, I'm pro-life, but that's their opinion. And if they want to do that, hey, all I can tell you is this: as you know, I'm pro-life. I've been pro-life for a long time.
In 1999, you said you were pro-choice in all respects.
And I said, what did I say? You didn't read it. Read the full statement of what I said. Read the full statement. No, no, you're not reading the full statement. Go ahead, get out the full statement. Read it.
Tim Russert followed.
I know. I remember Tim Russert very well. He was a friend of mine. He was a good man. But read the full statement.
My question is what.
Okay. Look, they have their choice. They can do what they have to do. I'm pro-life. They can do what they have to do. There'll be many people that will be voting for me. That I can tell you.
That's how he ends everything.
So he kind of drowns him out.
Yes, but the point is that the next question, which he's not answering, is would that be an issue for him with Supreme Court justices?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. There's
one area where the president definitely has some sway.
Exactly. So the question is, mm-hmm. Where does he stand on that? A lot of people will be voting for him. He's not going to answer it, and he doesn't want to answer it.
There's been an open letter from the pro-life leaders saying that they would like everyone to support anyone other than Donald Trump because of that stance.
So that becomes the big
question. They're like, he's not pro-life. But they killed his letter. They outline how he isn't.
There are real hard structures in the Republican political system here that he is going to have to overcome. So far, he's been flying over. But there's a ground game, and the question is, you know, if can he do that? Or is he an automatic, no matter who, could Bernie Sanders beat Donald Trump? Could Martin O'Malley beat Donald Trump? And nobody even knows who Martin O'Malley is. That's the point.